And welcome to the Sportscast, April 27th, 2018, NFL Draft 2008, first round completed, and we have Jeff Farr on the line. Hey Jeff, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago.
So Jeff, overall summary, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because in the draft, I think sometimes the better teams really separate themselves. I didn't really, if I had to pick my favorite pick and my least favorite pick, I like that the Broncos, I thought it was smart for them to take Chubb because they probably wanted to get a quarterback, but they didn't want to take just any quarterback. So getting Chubb is great value. Him paired with Von Miller is going to be potentially scary. And the team that I thought just dropped the ball was the Raiders. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, you know. Regardless of how you feel about the player, it just seems as though the Raiders have holes all over the defense, and they already, their offensive line is one of the highest paid in the NFL, and then you use a first round pick on another lineman, man, that's really, you're going to end up leaving the cupboard bare other places. But it was interesting to see how many quarterbacks went too. I mean, even Lamar got taken by the Ravens later. So teams are definitely desperate to overturn every stone to find a quarterback.
Yeah. I thought the night was really awesome. I was really not surprised that Goodell got booed at the beginning. It was a really loud booze.
Yeah, it's to the point where I almost think it's a game. Everybody's going to boo him everywhere he goes. I mean, he's got to be the least popular commissioner. And, you know, the thing about him is he just kind of picks and chooses his punishments on a whim. So he makes a lot of people mad. So he's going to get booed wherever he goes.
Even though, like, he tried to, I mean, even though he brought five quarterbacks and three quarterbacks from the Cowboys, but that didn't really help his shield.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're willing to boo with Troy Aikman up on the stage, they'll pretty much boo no matter what.
Yeah, no one can help you. Okay, let's start for each pick and see what are your thoughts. Let's start for the first one. The Cleveland Browns selected Baker Mayfield. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if they really think he's the best quarterback in the class, I mean, I saw a lot, you know, some people thought that the Browns should go Saquon 1. And I really, you know, the Browns have been trying to find a quarterback since 1999. You know, so if they love Baker, I think it's the right move. Every quarterback in this class has their pros and cons. But I just think the fact that they just...
I really think he's probably a safer pick than Johnny Manziel. I know Manziel had personal issues. I don't think this guy has personal issues as much. So it should be a good one. I hope Manziel... I mean, I hope Baker really does well because... Like when you go to Cleveland, like it feels like it's so toxic there, and hopefully it'll be a positive thing.
I'll be curious to see how Baker develops. I mean, you're always a little bit concerned when you see his highlights and every throw that he's making, the guy's open by 15 yards because it won't be that way in the NFL. But we'll see what happens. I mean, I think he's more talented than Manziel was. I think he's more of a playmaker than Manziel was, for what it's worth.
Yeah. Pick number two was from the New York Giants. They went running back, Saquon Barkley. So this will help out their running game for the Giants. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I love Saquon Barkley. I love the player. I love his mentality. He seems like a good dude. I hated the pick, man. I mean, and I'm sure people disagree. I thought it was... The Giants have a 37-year-old quarterback that has shown clear signs of, you know, decay. I mean, I hate to use that word, but Eli Manning, I'm not saying he's bad, but he's not the quarterback he was. He's 37 years old. And by taking Barkley, the almost made kind of a win now move, and I just don't think the Giants are in a position to win now. You know, their defense is talented, but it didn't play well last year. So maybe they think they can get better performance from their talent and then run the ball a lot. But I just think it's risky. The Giants don't pick high very often. So now they pick really high. They have a 37-year-old quarterback, and they don't use that pick to get the next guy in line. I think there's some long-term risk there.
I've heard that their backup, Davis Webb, has potential future. What have you heard about him?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Davis Webb. I mean, yeah, I know they just took him last year, and certainly the people inside that building know more than we do. And, you know, I think the Giants are one of the best-run organizations in the NFL. The thing about the Giants is when they're good, they're great. You know, when they're good, they win Super Bowls. That's, you know, they finish well. So, you know, maybe Davis Webb could be that guy. And if that is the case, well, then I'll look dumb and Barkley will be awesome and the Giants got it right, you know.
Yeah, I really agree about the New York Giants. Really, really run well, old machine. Third pick of the night was the New York Jets. They chose Sam Darnold. I thought they're going to pick Rosen.
Yeah, I think the appeal with Darnold, you know, I would say he has the highest ceiling of any of the quarterbacks in the draft. And I'll admit I'm a little bit biased, but the game that stuck out to me was when USC played Penn State, and USC, it was in the bowl game in 2016, and USC made a comeback to win the game. Some of the plays that Darnold made that day, I mean, he was sensational. I mean, he was making throws into perfect coverage. He led them back. You know, they end up winning the game. You know, I just, he's young. I believe they said he'll only be 20 years old this year. So hopefully the Jets don't, you know, throw him out there and ruin him, which, you know, we see happen sometimes. But, you know, long term, I think he has the highest upside and could be potentially the best. You know, when you look at these teams' actions, the Jets made a bold move. They wanted to get up to number three. They felt they had to, and they got their guy. So obviously the people inside their building must think really highly of them. And if you feel that way, then you get your quarterback.
Yeah. Bridgewater will be probably playing this year. And then I guess they'll, you know, transition out to Sam Darnold. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, Bridgewater can be a guy that can play for you, you know, for a year or two and see what happens.
Fourth pick, the Browns got Denzel Ward, a cornerback. This guy was talked about in the predictions, so good pick.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me. I really thought that this, if the Browns were going to make a trade, this would be the pick that they would move. Now, I think, as it turns out, maybe the reason they didn't move the pick is because I don't think teams were as crazy about Rosen and Josh Allen as we were led to believe, so maybe they weren't getting the value to trade out. Taking Ward's good. I mean, you know, the Browns, on defense, they just need to keep adding talent, you know. And I think Chubb would have been a great pick because him and Garrett would be a potentially great combo. But at the same time, if you're looking down the road, and then you have to pay potentially big money to two outside linebackers within a year of each other, that puts you in a bad spot. So take the best corner on the board, take, you know, the corner that they feel is the best in the draft. And, yeah, I mean, you know, in the NFL now, you can never have too many good corners. You know, it's a passing league. So go get your guy. And again, like I said, I guess I just felt Chubb was the better overall player, but I'm also not a scout. So, hey, they liked Ward, and they got him.
The fifth pick, which you think was the best pick of the night, was the Broncos getting Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, I really like it because I felt they just took the best player left. You know, they were picking number five. They didn't get a trade they liked. So they said, who's the best guy that we have on our board? And it was him. And when you look at this in the short term, him and Von Miller can be a really nice pair. And when you look at it long term, you know, Von Miller's not going to be in his prime forever. So as Von might be losing a step, Chubb should be coming into his prime. So you really set yourself up to have a dynamic edge rushing duo for quite some time. So I think it was smart. And when you look at the AFC West, you know, the edge rushers in that division have just been, you know, you have Bosa and Ingram and San Diego In Kansas City, you have Houston, Dee Ford's up and down, but he's still pretty good. And then in Oakland, you have Khalil Mack, and Irvin isn't bad. But the point is, you know, the Broncos are going to keep up with that, and they're going to – it's going to be important to have a pass rush in that division.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting situation with Denver, and now with Case Keenum. I guess they're going to stick with Case Keenum for the long term, I guess.
That's rough. But, you know, you could do worse, but I think they'll have a tough time there.
We'll see what Case Keenum is all about. Number six, the Indianapolis Colts select Quentin Nelson.
It's kind of funny because they wait until their franchise quarterback is completely broken, and then they start drafting linemen to protect him. So, I mean, Nelson, from all accounts, seems like he'll probably be a dominant guard. He looks great, and you need guys like that. And, you know, hopefully Andrew Luck does come back healthy. And if he does, you need to protect him. And I'm sure, you know, they would like to establish a running game too. So, again, I think this was another one of those situations where they looked at who's the best player available. And they went with Nelson because, you know, he's a guard, which some people view as kind of a low value position, but he's really, really good. And the Colts have a couple picks at the very top of the second round. So that helps them too, because they can get good players with those picks.
We'll see what happens tonight for second round. The seventh pick, the Buffalo Bills. They traded up via Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got Josh Allen. Now, Josh Allen, the day prior, had issues with his Twitter. But, you know, Bills needed a quarterback. So, you know, Allen was a little bit frustrated that he got dropped a little bit low. But it's still seventh. I still think it's pretty good.
Yeah. The only thing that you look at with the Bills is, so last year they traded down. They could have taken Mahomes or Deshaun Watson last year. And they passed on both of those guys. And then you end up having to trade up to get a guy, you know. Again, I can't predict the future. Nobody else can either. I'd have a hard time thinking that Josh Allen's going to be as good as either one of those guys. But at the end of the day, again, it all comes back to how the team views him. And if they think he's a franchise guy, then it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
But it concerns me that his, you know, they always talk about completion percentage, and there's no one exact science, but boy, you just want to see a little bit more out of Allen in college.
Yeah. Like you were saying, it's very unpredictable. You just don't know where these quarterbacks are going to be in, you know, in 5 or or even 10 years. So we'll see. Yeah. But the Bills, you know, they got something franchise tech quarterback. I haven't seen this since what, Drew Bledsoe?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, they've really struggled at that position, and they tried to give Tyrod Taylor a fair shot, but I think he's more of a temporary Band-Aid than a long-term solution.
Exactly. And number eight, the Chicago Bears. They needed pretty much anyone. They got Roquan Smith, a linebacker from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, he's your guy that you hope to plug in the middle for the next 10 years. And every year that he plays 16 games, he'll lead your team in tackles. You know, he covers a lot of ground. And the Bears have some talent on defense. I wouldn't say they're loaded or anything like that, but they're kind of in the early phases. And, you know, in terms of, you know, building a roster. So, again, taking the best player that you can find that you have an opening for. And I really like Smith. I mean, from what I saw of him, he's really athletic. He's physical, and, you know, he could be the type of guy they could build their defense around.
Number nine, San Francisco 49ers get Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame.
Yeah, you have your quarterback, you know, you have Jimmy there now, so you want to protect him. And so I think that's a solid move. And, you know, I saw a lot of people talking about how he was kind of underrated, I guess, because of how good Nelson was. not to take anything away from Nelson, but, you know, leading up to the draft, I saw some guys saying that depending on the need of the team's picking, that he could have went before Nelson. So I think that was a really good value pickup for the Niners. And again, if you're going to go out and sign Garoppolo to this big contract, you know, you need to take care of him then and keep him healthy. So I think it was really smart for the Niners.
And Arizona Cardinals got Josh Rosen, which I'm surprised he got picked to like the 10th spot. But Josh Rosen, what do you think?
I think, you know, here's the thing. Sam Bradford's going to play, what, between 1 and 3 games probably because he just always ends up on the shelf. Josh Rosen, a lot of people felt he was the most pro-ready quarterback, so he can step in potentially day one play. I think that's important if you do have Sam Bradford as your starter because there's a very real chance that the rookie will have to play. So, I mean, I think it's I like in terms of fit as well, and the Cardinals always seem like that team even when you think they might be rebuilding, they're always kind of a win now mentality. You know, they kept trying to milk a year out of Carson Palmer over and over again, and it didn't work. So I would say that it really makes sense that a team like the Cardinals would pick the quarterback that's the most ready to play. He might not have a ceiling as high as some of the other guys, but I also think that he's the least likely to be a complete bust and fall apart.
Did the Cardinals get lucky?
Yeah, you know, I think to some extent they probably did because, you know, what always ends up happening in the draft is the farther we get away from football, the more we fall in love with, like, the analytics and the athleticism and, you know, 40 times and all those things. I think if the draft was closer to when games were actually played, I think maybe Rosen maybe would have went a little higher. So if I was a Cardinals fan or if I was on their team, I'd be pretty pumped. I think to get Rosen where they did is exceptional.
Man. Yeah, we'll see what happens. The Cardinals need a quarterback, but I think being behind Bradford, I think he might get some playing time this year, so We'll see where that cookie crumbles. The 11th spot, the Miami Dolphins got Minka Fitzpatrick. No QB. They did not get a quarterback this time.
I don't know if Fitzpatrick will definitely play safety or corner in the NFL, but I will say if he plays safety, you then have a really, really nice duo there with Fitzpatrick and Sean Jones. So that's a real nice duo if he is going to play safety. So there again, you know, the Dolphins trying to retool their defense. Passing league, you know, get your dynamic safeties, your physical guys, your playmakers. And I think it's a solid move for them.
Yeah, I'm going to jump around through the other picks. Vita Vea got selected by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So what do you think about that?
If you look at the defensive line they've built with him, Jason Pierre-Paul, McCoy, and Vinnie Curry, I like what they've done. And to put him in there, he'll probably – if you put a guy like him beside McCoy, you hope that he's able to take some double teams to give McCoy some one-on-ones. And Vea's athleticism for a guy his size is just unbelievable. You know, they showed the highlights of him running down on punt and kick coverage at 347 pounds. So he'll be a fun one, like regardless of how it all pans out. That'll be a fun guy to track and see, you know, how they end up using him.
And for the 22nd pick, the Patriots chose Isaiah Wynn. What are they trying to do?
I think they're trying to get a little bit, you know, their offensive line has been important to them. It's generally been pretty stable, but they've lost some talent there, you know, the last few years. So I'm not sure. The one thing I wasn't sure of is if they expect him to play guard or tackle. But either way, if need for them and gives them, you know, some real talent at that position. And Brady's 41 years old, so you can't let him get hit too much.
You can't. And then finally, the last quarterback that got selected of the night, well, like the sixth quarterback, was the Baltimore Ravens at the 32nd pick. Is this good for the Ravens?
Lamar, you know, it's funny because Lamar Jackson's like, he's developed almost this cult following. You know, people that really are pounding the table saying that he's really going to be good. And like anyone else, you know, you watch his college highlights and stuff, and he looks great. The cool thing is, with him going to the Ravens, obviously Flacco's going to be the quarterback this year. But then moving forward, you know, Flacco's had some back injuries and different things that have slowed him down, so you don't know how much longer he'll be there. So Jackson might be in a good position where he can sit behind Flacco for a little bit and then grow and get accustomed to a pro-style offense more. And, you know, hey, I think for the 32nd pick, I would take Lamar Jackson. You know,
yeah,
that's good value.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you looking forward to tonight's second round? Is there anything you're eyeing on, or it's pretty much secondary players that, you know, won't do much impact?
You know, from everything I've seen and heard, a lot of people felt that the second and third round was where the best value was. There's a lot of players that are probably late first to mid second round talents that'll be there. Just from a fan perspective, you know, the Chiefs didn't have a first round pick this year, so I'm excited to see what they do. I'm hoping they, you know, get some help in the secondary. But yeah, I think it'll be fun. And you know, these next 2 days are where teams in many years they kind of separate themselves, because the first round, I mean, obviously there's still even a lot of bust in the first round, but the farther into the draft you go, the more difficult it is to truly identify who's going to be able to make it in the NFL. So especially when you start talking about depth and even special teamers and things of that nature, you know, these next couple days are fun because that's, you know, that's where the better teams distance themselves.
Yeah, and also one other pick that I forgot to mention was the Patriots getting Sonny Michael or Mitchell, running back from Georgia. That sounds like a good pick.
Yeah, and I think they've always done the running back by committee, but maybe with him they'll have a guy that they can kind of give a few more carries and then have their third down back to go along with him. But yeah, the running back position with the Patriots is funny because they've never seemed to really value one guy a lot. But if you use a first round pick, obviously you must see something. And fit wise, you know, I hate to make it too black and white, and this can come across as lazy, but when you have Tom Brady, you know, running backs are going to have opportunities, whether it's out of the backfield or, you know, who was the last team to play an 8-man front against Tom Brady?
Yeah.
You know, good luck with that. So so you're going to, you know, whatever running back plays with him is going to have opportunities.
Now from like the six quarterbacks last night, who do you think is the best of the six?
Oh man. So I think if you just said right now today, let's go play. Who would I want to play with today?
Yeah.
I would say Rosen is the best today.
He's the most complete quarterback.
Yeah, like if you're not taking into consideration the future or how much they'll progress, I think Rosen is the best one today. But I think Darnold is the guy that has the potential to really end up being the best one in the class.
Do you think Baker is a number one pick?
I mean, guys that get paid a lot more money than I make, you know, decided that he is. So I would say he is. I mean, I know people like to make fun of the Browns, but it's hard to find a quarterback, and eventually they'll get it right. So Baker could definitely be that guy.
Yeah, and did you see that picture of him imitating the Brett Favre phone call?
Yeah, that makes me think he'll be a winner. I mean, I did see it. Yeah, I mean that's
which back then yeah, Brett Favre was a good quarterback. I mean, he was predicted to be good.
Yeah, he was wild. I mean, he was wild early, but yeah, Favre I mean, if Baker Mayfield has a career anywhere close to Favre, I think the Browns will be pretty pumped.
And you say Denver probably had the best pick of the night.
I think that was my favorite pick, just because I think sometimes in the draft, you know, you see teams either overanalyze or you see teams get desperate and
or nervous.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, the Broncos have always been a win-now team too, and with their quarterback situation, I'm sure they would have loved to take a quarterback, but they weren't going to take just any guy. So I think it was really smart to just go with Chubb, go heavy on defense, and, you know, maybe you can win some ugly games, basically do the same thing the Vikings did with Keenum.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation. Like I said, these players will, you know, some of them will play in the first season, some may not. And we'll see how it goes. Only history will tell. I'll look back at this year because it was, you know, known for the year of the quarterback. So we should see what happens.
Absolutely.
All right. Tonight, NFL playoff games are going on tonight. Who do you have between Toronto and Washington? Toronto's up 3-2 and they're playing in Washington.
I think Toronto will finish the series off. They have to. I mean, yeah. You know, you say nice things about the Raptors, and then they let the Wizards back in the series. but I think the Raptors will take care of business and finish it off.
Cleveland and the Pacers tonight. Cleveland is up 3-2 after a magical shot by LeBron to win the game. They're playing in Indiana. Do you think Cleveland can finish this thing off tonight?
I think they will. I think LeBron's just going to – you know, again, we talked about this earlier. You just can't pick against LeBron in a playoff series. It's just he plays at a level that's unmatched, and he's tough, man. He's just so tough. I think the Cavs will win.
It feels like he's playing his best – I can't say his best games now because I know like during the Miami Heat he played great, but he still has it. He's still in his prime. That's all I can say at least.
He is, yep.
And – tonight, OKC at the Utah Jazz. Utah is up 3-2, but they're playing in Salt Lake.
I have a tough time. I go back and forth on this because the Jazz probably feel as though they blew it because they had that 25-point lead and ended up losing. Sometimes that can really hurt you. But going back home to Utah, and just from when I watch, Utah just plays – They just play better as a team. So I think Utah will finish the series and move on.
I agree. I really think this series deserves to Utah. I think OKC, poor Russell Westbrook, and I think I heard Billy Donovan, his job might be on the line after tonight if he loses.
That roster was always going to be a tough one to get to fit together with George, Melo, and Russ. And You know me. I mean, I'm not a big Melo fan in the first place, but that Donovan might just kind of be the fall guy for all that.
I know it's just very unfortunate, and Russell Westbrook, will he ever see the Western Conference Finals with this team? Probably not.
I don't. I think he might be another guy that eventually. Well, it's hard. It's hard to say. I mean, he's a great player, but. I think it would take a very unique group of players to surround him with, just because anytime you have a shoot-first point guard, it creates a little bit of a different dynamic on your team.
Yeah. Which game will you be watching tonight?
Well, I'll probably be flipping back and forth between the draft and I like watching OKC. I mean, I give Russ a hard time, but Russell Westbrook's still probably my favorite player to watch.
You're a night person, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
The game's at 10:30, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So maybe I'll watch the first half.
But the second, okay, last night, the first round draft, it ended around 11, was it?
Well, I was actually watching at a friend's, and I left at 11, and it still wasn't quite over yet. So, yeah, it went pretty late.
And it's interesting because I think Cleveland, for the first pick, they used all their 10 minutes.
I know, which is it's funny. You would think they would just want to run up,
discuss where they're going. But do you think Cleveland? Do you think this is it for Cleveland? Do you think that curse is going to be broken finally? Do you think these players will, you know, start to gel through, maybe become a 76ers?
I think it takes a little bit longer in the NFL, but I do think Cleveland's going to head in the right direction. I think they'll be respectable, and I think they'll grow from here. I wouldn't say they'll be good this year, but they'll be better, which, again, when you were 0-16 last year, you kind of have to be better.
Yeah, you got to be. I hope so, man. Cleveland is so miserable to watch, and like, their stadium is, gosh, it's almost half empty. It's either them or Cincinnati, but it's really pitiful to watch.
Yeah, and their fans deserve, like, their fans deserve to see some winning.
Exactly, I agree. And hopefully this thing will mesh out. Hopefully it won't be the Manziel. Well, everyone goes back to Manziel, but Manziel's a whole different character. Baker's a different personality. And I'm sure Baker might, you know, I don't think he'll, I mean, obviously, like, he'll probably play a few games coming in, but, like, obviously he won't start. Tyrod Taylor will come in as a short fix for the year, and we'll see what happens. But, Jeff, how can people find you?
Follow me on Twitter, at JT Fulver. It's probably the best way if we're talking sports. I mean, that's essentially what I use that for. Sports and barbecue pictures, man. That's about it.
Sounds good. Jeff, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
All right. Thanks, Santiago.